cold silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. There's a cold of silence and it can't go on.
Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix. On January the 14th, 2008. Newcomers should always look into my website, cuttingthroughthematrix.com. And even though it's, in a sense, disorganized because I don't have the staff to sort everything out in categories and so on, there's a lot of information there, a lot of information on the histories leading up to the present and the future, where we're going, why it's happening, the big forces and foundations and so on that are behind it, and how they do it, and how they work intergenerationally. It's quite an easy task to do if you have big foundations with an agenda. You can literally hire men, 3-4 generations of them, and here's the agenda. You teach them that when they join, and when they retire, a new guy comes in, he takes over, and it's quite simple to keep it going. That was discussed a few hundred years ago when they set a lot of them up. Also look into Alan Watt Sentient, sentinel.eu, and download the transcripts, which you can print up and pass around to your friends, and they're also in some of the languages of Europe and Scandinavia. We are really on a roll now, really on a roll. I was wondering when they'd eventually start jacking up the prices in North America to start to simulate Europe. Europe's way ahead on this decrease in the standard of living and high costs. And America, of course, has been cushioned because they didn't want to pull the plug too early. They want you to pay the taxes on the military and all this kind of stuff while you're finishing off the world. But now, as they're doing that, they're also raising all the costs back home, and things are really increasing in Canada and the United States. It's almost daily. It's like a calendar. It goes up every day. And I went to the post office today to post off one big envelope that normally costs me $28.70 or $0.80 for overseas mail, air mail. And she said $55. I said, "You're kidding." She said, "I'll have to check and see what the right price should be." I said, "I think you should. Almost double, that's impossible." But it has gone up for sure. Everything has gone up, and it will continue to go up. All transportation, everything that is transported, is to start going really up in price. And we're on a roll with the oil increases, with the big cartels working hand in glove with the foundations, which shouldn't surprise us because the CEOs work for both. Back and forth like ping pong balls into the foundations, back into the big corporations, and back again, sometimes into politics. They do this musical chair act, and it's quite interesting to see how they get away with it. Very interesting indeed. But before I go on to anything else, I think we should look at the chipping program that's going on. And lots of people have emailed me the same article to do with chipping prisoners with a new Verichip. This is inevitable because it was planned that way. They got us used to the idea of it in our pets to begin with. At first they said it would be rogue pets, you know, ones that occasionally get in trouble with the dog catcher or something. And then they made it mandatory that all pound dogs had to have chips put in them. Then, I think in Canada, they made it mandatory that you are trying to get all your pets chipped, and some U.S. states have done the same. And that's simply it's to familiarize you with the whole idea of chipping in the first place, step by step, until we all get it ourselves. Now, I hear the music coming, so I'll be back after these following messages. Hi Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt and we're cutting through the matrix. Before I read this article, I better take this call. It's from Queensland, Australia. It's James. Are you there, James?
Yeah, I actually missed the start of your show, but I was just, I've been not talking off the topic, but here in Queensland, in Brisbane, we're just about to get fluoride in our water, and just sort of concerns me a lot because we're about to have it happen pretty soon, and all these public relations spins coming out and saying it's not mass medication, don't worry about it, and and that, and I don't know why we need to have it.
Well, it's interesting, because the man who pushed it in Canada, this dentist, came out, I think he even wrote a book about it. He was a man who pushed it. He swallowed it all himself. He believed it was all true. And he promoted it to be brought into the Canadian water supply. And then he came out against it when he really went into the details, especially to do with its effects on the body and the brain itself. It's been well known since the 1920s, the effects of this particular. It's a byproduct of aluminum. And that's where they put their byproducts, in our food or our water. And it helps to dispose of it. But it also dumbs us down pretty quickly, makes us more docile and placid. And it also causes brittle bones as you get older. And it also can put little white pitting in the teeth itself. Little white particles appear just under the enamel. So it's a pretty dangerous stuff, never mind the mental effects. So you're quite right. You should be asking why they're putting it in.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of things coming out now about the environmental thing. It's just sort of almost driving me mad. Like, it's just, I can see through all the propaganda. Every time I look at someone else's TV, because I don't really use mine anymore, but I always see the, like, these reports and articles about green vehicles and green energy and carbon neutrality. And it's just, I can see right through it now, because I've been listening to your programs for a few years now. And it's just crazy. How do I deal with these people who don't understand it? Yeah.
You probably find the general population around you don't even question it, do they?
Not at all, no.
No.
They think it's good. They think it's a good thing to...
That's right.
I can see where it's heading, and yeah, it's just, it seems quite sad because, all the interest rates are rising and we've got new leadership, supposedly, from Kevin Rudd, and it's just... I think this guy is going to bring in really serious environmental laws. He didn't waste any time in ratifying that treaty or whatever it was.
That green treaty, the whole greening program is what they call a must-be. It's going to be the big stick to make us all conform and accept a completely new system and a new standard of living. Yeah.
And I actually thought about you, and that's why I called the show, because I was going through a fairly sort of upmarket-looking magazine, and then there's a massive A3-sized spread with Mikhail Gorbachev in a Louis Vuitton advertisement with a in a taxi or something like that.
Yeah.
And the zine looks like with a it says here Mikhail Gorbachev and Louis Vuitton are proud to support Green Cross International. I looked up what Green Cross International was, and that was very interesting in itself.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
They love
the crosses.
Too.
Yeah, and he also was knighted when he went into England into the Knights of Lazarus, and the Knights of Lazarus, their symbol is the Green Cross.
Yes. Symbolic.
But yeah, everything is planned that way, and Australia, the whole world is to get the same agenda, and now the big corporations, all their ads are bringing in the eco-terminology into it to brainwash us further. Yeah.
Another thing is, in the town I live in, there's a local magazine, or local rag, as they call it, and it's got a section which is there every week called Sustainable Living, and it's called, I think, onedegree.com.au or something like that.
Yes.
And it's a section dedicated to environmental concern, and it's obviously sponsored by bigger powers, I'm quite sure of it, because it's very well formatted, and it's not like some private ad, it's a real, like a whole section.
You'll find, again, the Club of Rome was the ones who came up with this particular idea, and all the other foundations and roundtables worked it out, the details, how to market it to the public through magazines and so on.
Amazing, yeah. And the last thing I wanted to ask you, I get a lot of invitations and offers from people who are in groups, and, like, you call them cults, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And some of them actually do check out to be officially recognized cults. And I think because I just have an inquiring mind, and people try and get me into their marketing programs and their, religious organizations, which are often offshoots from mainstream religions.
Yeah.
I get a lot of offers, and also because I work in sales, I get heaps of people coming to the store who try and recruit me, which is quite amazing.
Yes.
Some people I sort of get involved with, yeah.
Yes.
How to handle them, yeah.
It depends which ones you'd go to, because the ones who already have a predestiny written within somewhere will enjoy the news because they look forward to an end, and they believe, yep, it's meant to be that way. The other ones that don't have anything written in stone or wherever are more liable to take more of an interest and perhaps even become more active in it to start try to change it.
Yeah, I actually went to one of these particular Buddhist organizations, and I was invited to a massive seminar in Sydney, and I went there last year, and I just couldn't believe how it's so youth-focused. Like, everything revolves around recruiting the youth.
Yes.
And I can see through what they're trying to do, but
yeah.
Massive connections with the United Nations as well, like, quite open about it. Mm.
Yes, that's always put what actual sect was it, you know?
I'm not sure I should name it, that's all.
Was it the Japanese one, or was it...
Yeah, the Japanese one.
Okay.
One of those ones.
Yeah, so they're known for doing...
phone calls and harassment from them as well. I've had a lot of, you know, repeat offers and invitations and quite pushy about it. So
yes.
Uh-huh. To the point where I had to sort of ignore the phone calls and make up
yeah.
excuses. And yeah, it's
yeah
quite,
they all get into the hard
sure.
marketing idea. See, they're all... It's interesting. Even all the religions are into the hard marketing idea, and they use hard marketing techniques. And they don't leave you alone.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I keep saying to my family, I'm not getting involved in any groups. I want to be an individual, just, you know, come to my own conclusions and listen to other people. That's what I want to do. But I find the trouble is when you get involved in these groups, they're all the same. Like, every time I've been to, whether it's a marketing one or a, you know, religious type of group,
uh-huh.
they're various mainstream religions and so on, they've all got the same formula. I just can't believe it. And I think you've said this before, but I totally agree with it. It's just amazing. Like, they've all got the same worship of a superior human being or whatever. It's just...
That, yeah, they're all kind of fooled, and they all each one thinks they're superior. They're going to come through
yeah.
this. Yeah, that's the sad part. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks very much.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Thank you. And above a guy called Garen on Rhode Island, is it? Hello, Garen.
Hello, Alan.
Yeah.
Yes, wanted to ask you a couple of questions. First, do you know the new UN Secretary General, Ki-moon?
Ki-moon. I haven't
yeah.
read much about him, no.
Oh, so you don't know that much about him?
No, I haven't kept up with the UN. I lost interest with the last one with the oil for food scandal with Iraq when they were filling their pockets there, you know, the boss and his son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I didn't know too much about him either, so I... Just wondering if you had, and then my other question is, I had heard you mention one time about the global elite or aristocracy. They have the belief in reincarnation, but only for them.
Yeah, they have an odd. You understand that all religions have an esoteric side. And each side can be misinterpreted even by those that follow them. And so even the elite themselves claim that they are man. We are not man. We are human. And human comes from humus, meaning the earth. That's the whole story of Adam. Before Adam was created in Genesis, you'll see that God created man and woman in chapter 1. That's the last you hear of them. And then he says, no, there was no one to till the soil, so we created Adam and Eve. They were the workers. So these characters at the top believe that they have spirit, and the rest of the public down below do not. That's the difference.
Oh, so they believe that they have spirits
yeah.
that will go on to live another life and be reincarnated and all these things, but
yeah.
the rest of us,
yeah.
Interior...
If you read the books by Plato... He being an aristocrat of his day and studying in Egypt, he believed this himself, and he wrote about it in his books.
Plato?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, and so the inferior ones, like us, we don't have souls.
Well, you have a soul. See, in ancient times, and this was even taught in the early Christian church, you had body, soul, and spirit. And if you had all three, that was completion. That was the ultimate trinity. But they claimed that the people at the bottom never achieved or acquired spirit, so they were just soul. The soul had no intellect of its own. And you just went back into the big sea of pea soup and got mushed up.
I see. That's pretty wild.
And that's what Plato attributed their superior intellect and knowledge, and for the very fact they were aristocratic and successful, that's what he attributed that to, was that they came from these lineages that had spirit.
So they go on and evolve, but the rest of us go back into the primordial soup.
That's it, yeah.
That's pretty wild.
Isn't it? Yeah.
All right, thanks, Alan.
Thanks for calling.
Yep.
And you got Chris from Canada. Are you there, Chris?
Hello, Alan.
Yes.
Hey, I have a question for you. I don't wish to cause any offense, but I was wondering, how is it that the New World Order does not act against public figures, not unlike yourself, mm-hmm. who are speaking out against them, and to stop this information from being released?
Oh, they will. In fact, they are.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. You have no idea what I come under, what kind of attacks I get put towards me here. Or even groups trying to start up in the U.S. trying to get me off the air. You have no idea what's going on. Yeah.
Okay.
And this is all the time, by
yes.
the way. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm probably the only unauthorized person to get up this far, simply because I couldn't be ignored anymore.
So the information you're putting out is of the quality that they can't really stop it?
That's pretty well it. Yeah. I'll be back after these messages. Hang on. Hi, I'm Alan Watt, and we're cutting through the matrix. This big, thick pea soup around us. We're cutting through pretty quickly, and people are noticing, which is good and bad, because when you do cut through it, you will take hits coming back at you, especially when you're making a difference. And Chris from Canada was talking there. Are you still there, Chris?
Yes, I am.
Coming against you. Yeah, they do come against you. And I'm sure something bigger will come this year. They try a whole bunch of different ways to get at you, legal otherwise, and so you have to try and keep squeaky clean.
Can you be more specific about things that they've done to try to impede you and stop you from, fighting the good fight like you're doing and releasing this wonderful information for us?
Oh, there were some groups in the U.S. You'd understand there's what was called the Patriot Radio business in the U.S. was started up in the 60s. And a Toronto Star article a few years ago, it was a half page on it, gave the history of it. And initially it was started up by the CIA. They gave the history of it, and they put Christian front groups out there to try and fight communism with counter-propaganda. And personally, I don't think they really ever gave them up. Now, why would they give up a great tool? But unfortunately, you have so many schisms within those groups there that they can be easily used by someone that's well-known or powerful to go after someone and harass them or get a campaign going to get you off the air, And they do things like that. But it's always one leader, and the rest are always followers. They're called the useful idiots. They don't think too much. They have no peace in them. If they were real Christians, they would have peace beyond understanding. But these people literally need causes. And plus, the culture of the U.S. was given heavy doses of militarization. That's been all through especially the Hollywood era of propaganda. And so they couple militarization, like hitmen for Jesus or SWAT teams for Jesus, with the military. And so you have all these strange mindsets out there that can be kind of dangerous at times, too. And you get death threats from some of them.
So you get lots of threats and things like that?
You get the death threats from the ones who are on the fringe. There's always a fringe group in every group. There's always a fringe on the outside with the ultra-paranoics that get fixations upon you. And they'll stalk you, for instance. And you take these things seriously, you have to chase them down before they come to you. I have had people up here looking for me.
Really?
Uh-huh.
And why do you think the New World Order, doesn't completely just, you know, eliminate people who are speaking out against them.
Because this must, see, the whole show of the New World Order through propaganda and gradualism has been very gradual, step by step, up until now, is to be, is to fool the majority of the public. That's their target. They worry about the minorities, but the majority is always their target. As long as they can convince the majority, everything's okay. If they start wiping out people who are speaking out, even the majority would get the wind of something being very, very wrong. You see?
Yes.
So they try to leave that as a last resort, if possible. But they do it. They wiped out James Goldsmith in England, who came out with a counter-movement to pull Britain back out of the European Union. And because he had name, fame, intelligence, and enough publicity, he was wealthy too. In other words, he could do it. He was being listened to when he came out with his book called The Trap. He died within a few weeks of a rapid onset of pancreatic cancer, and he was dead in 2 weeks.
So they're not really so concerned about the fringe movements, and, you know, the truth movement is so small. Is that why it's not really being targeted so much?
And the truth movement can be well manipulated too. There's so much confusion within it. I mean, number one, there's no idea of what they actually truly want collectively. They're all fighting within each other for different ideas, and they don't see the big picture at all. They only see their little paradigm of the box they live in. And what each one really wants is for their particular little box to stay the same way until they die. Just don't make it get any worse. Just stop right here. Other ones want to go back to a previous time when they think it was better. There's a whole bunch of ideas. And other ones want to get America back. Now, the industry has been moved out of America. How would they support themselves? And not only that, they don't even think through the next problem. Since the United Nations is primarily funded by the U.S., and was promoted and set up by the U.S., even from Woodrow Wilson for the League of Nations, they would be classed as a rogue nation if they pulled out now. And the other UN countries would then have to go to war with the U.S. See, nothing has been thought out at all in any way, shape, or form. And you have confusion there, and confusion feeds fear. And fear makes them fight each other. There's a lot of infighting on with different groups, you know.
So do you think they cause the infighting and cause the splintering?
Absolutely. You always divide and conquer as standard techniques. And they have put out so many provocateurs in the past to do this, and it's not a hard thing to do. And then they do smear campaigns. Even on the politicians, you'll see that all the time. That's standard in politics. You get smear campaigns. Well, they do the same thing with people who can make a difference. They try. Because it's the general public who don't take much convincing generally. They don't go into facts, details, or question, or even check things out for themselves. They just accept what they're told. So until they realize, they actually decide and discuss what they all have in common, what all their interests happen to be in the main agenda, and then come together, then of an idea of what they're fighting for and what they want to save and keep and what they want to throw away. Back with more after these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Hi, I'm Alan Watt, cutting through the matrix of deception, and just finishing up with Chris, talking about what happens and do they come against you and so on. And yes, they do come against you. I've had the brake lines cut on my car in my last place when I used to be on radio 10 years ago. And other things happened to me too, which were just bizarre. Something you could even go to the cops and tell, they would never believe you. I did have a phosphorus bomb put down my chimney from a helicopter one night.
So this is actively ongoing, then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you don't get a minute's peace here, and you have to watch every car that pulls up here.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Also, I was wondering about the fact of, you know, the big date of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that that is some special date where that's really going to, they're really going to implement, you know, eliminating the population by that point, or is it going to be
Well, 2012 was picked. 2010 is for the complete amalgamation of the Americas to be up and running. I was done at the free trade negotiations way back in the 80s, decided that. 2012 was to be the implementation where you have the free trading blocks. They're also implementing the trading blocks of the Pacific Rim. And the United Nations is to take over and become raised up to its status now as the world's policeman, the real policeman and real government that oversees everything by 2012.
So by 2010, they're actually going to, it's going to be officially the American Union.
Yeah.
And have one
in fact, that was even stated in Canadian television, CBC, in 2005, when they told you they had one agreement to sign per year, and they had five to go.
And when do you think they're going to begin doing the culling of the herd, the mass, you know, killing of the population?
Slowly they've been doing it with other means for all our lives, actually. But I think they'll bring out pandemics. You know, all this stuff to do with putting barbed wire around little ports on the Great Lakes and stuff, that's all to keep people from moving in or getting out. This is all containment policies we're seeing right now getting set up. That's nothing to do with terrorists. These are all same with all the gunboats. They put a whole fleets of them on the Great Lakes there, heavy caliber machine guns can punch through thick steel. Now, that's not for terrorists or for the average fisherman that's drunk on his boat without a license. That's for populations in a panic trying to move.
So do you think they're going to keep quiet about it? They're just going to slowly be implementing these things, not actually have a mass, like, reveal themselves for what they are and create an overall panic in the world?
It will reveal itself when they release the pandemics. Then you'll see all these forces that are set up going to action.
So they're ready to be, you know, come into effect at that point.
Yes.
And then it's all going to be, as you know, for lack of a better term, all hell's going to break loose.
That's right, and that's why the Department of Defense for Britain gave out its 90-page report on 30-odd years of riots and chaos. That's all they predicted. They wouldn't tell you why that would happen, but they obviously know the agenda. They know what they're going to implement to cause it to happen. Food's going to go out of sight. Transportation's going to go out of sight. There'll be curfews. There'll be cordoned off cities, areas, roads. And the pandemic is beautiful, and it can spring up in one place, die down, and spring up in another. So they can keep changing the containment points.
What do you think they're waiting for? What is their...
The full readiness of the forces to take care of it all, manage it all, and they will probably. It was Rockefeller that said a speech in California. He said, because we're complaining about the United Nations meddling in the U.S. affairs, and he said the day will come. He says when you'll welcome the United Nations troops in America under the right circumstances. So all that's been dealt with too. Which forces will be used? When they'll come in, etc., etc.
And do you see, so you don't see a clear time frame where that's going to happen?
Well, as I say, the Department of Defense see it starting anywhere from 2012 onwards. And so it will be just a gradual escalation. As I say, it's an age of chaos. That means all types of chaos will be implemented. Yeah.
And also, do you see a... the other day you were mentioning that northern India might be a safer place to go because it's less developed. They're less likely to have the infrastructure to implement these plans.
That's right. It'll take a lot longer. It'll take years and years and years to even the cultural changes too. They don't think the same way about things. It's not quite so. It's not organized at all in that respect.
So, is there any other places that you could mention that would be of a similar attributes?
There's a few, but I don't want to mention them all. There'll be a mad rush to go there.
Okay. Yes. So even what about like the tip of South America?
No, I wouldn't go into the Americas at all.
No, so just Americas are just going to be not the place to be.
That's right.
There's lots of little islands around, though. Like, would that be another alternative?
Possible, but I'd get far away from the Americas when it does come down.
Okay. So heading over to Europe is not a good idea. Either, right?
Temporarily, it can be good, but not for the long run.
One thing about northern India is, what about the fallout from perhaps, you know, nuclear fallout from Iran and, you know, what they plan on, you know, doing in the Middle East.
I wouldn't worry. I mean, fallout travels across the whole planet anyway. We had that in Britain even when Chernobyl went off and the cows were given radioactive milk, you know.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter. It's best to take things at a step at a time and don't worry about the what-ifs, because there's a thousand what-ifs out there. You deal with one thing at a time out of necessity. Necessity should dictate your plans.
Also, I was wondering... You know,
I really have to go on the next caller.
Okay, just one more question.
Very quick.
The spread of the pandemic, do you think it's going to be global or is it just going to be localized to large population centers?
It'll spring much like the SARS nonsense came to Canada through Toronto from the Far East. And then it supposedly was, it wasn't even contained. It was just a heavy flu. Flus kill off people all the time, but it seemed to definitely take down people off Far Eastern heritage much faster. They got it worse and a lot of them died of it. So it was almost gene specific. And a lot of Chinese are asking questions about that now.
So that's
how it'll come. It'll probably come straight over and through aircraft and visitors and so on.
It'll be person to person, correct?
Yeah.
Not really like a big massive air cloud coming with the...
No, unless you spray it from the skies, which is possible.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your patience, Alan. I appreciate you answering these questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye now. Now we've got Mark from Massachusetts, is it?
Alan, this is Mark from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Just two quick questions. You mentioned a couple of times, and I found very interesting, is the connection with, I think it's Fred T. Gates and John D. Rockefeller.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you had any more information on that, any other resources I could look into on that, because it was kind of intriguing. I haven't been able to found a couple small things on the Internet about it, but it was nothing too concrete.
You'd have to really dig in to the genealogies. Yeah. I did it ages ago, but I never kept it. But
okay.
You'll find these characters are all interrelated generationally, yeah, intergenerationally. Yeah, same ones.
Okay.
Yeah, same ones. Big, powerful families.
Yeah, that was very interesting. And the second thing, not to harbor on the what ifs too much, but as far as financially, what would you consider to be the best defensive position to take for what might be coming down the road in the next few years? Obviously, currency is probably, paper currency is not probably the ideal. Gold is the same thing, you know, someone has to take the gold, you know, and they can value it at whatever. So what would you do if you were to take a position financially of some degree?
You'd have to, if you stay in the States, you'd have the best currency there eventually is going to be food.
Yeah.
Food and medicine.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Food and medicine are going to be like gold. People who have the ability to grow their own food too, that's a good area to be in at that particular time, because people will certainly want it. The supermarkets, you understand, and even during a pandemic, will be cleared out in one day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so bartering is going to come in quick for necessities. Necessities, that's it. So it's food. Good water and so on.
Yeah,
that's your first thing on anyone's mind. Every mother thinks of that first, and that's going to be essential.
Okay,
so stack up, you know, with beans and dried stuff and so on, and
yeah,
you can add water to and cook up in a stew, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks. Nice talking to you.
Thanks for calling. And we've got Ted in California. Are you there, Ted? Hello.
Hello, Alan.
Yes.
Yes. A while back, somebody was mentioning Walt Disney and I on your show, and I did some research on it, and I'm convinced now that he was certainly an assigned culture creator.
Yes.
I found some things about Epcot Center.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be a utopian city of the future.
Uh-huh.
And he said it'd be a planned, controlled community, where there'd be no slum areas because they won't let them develop, no landowners, therefore no voting control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people will rent houses instead of buying them.
Yeah, exactly.
No
Agenda 21. Yeah.
Yeah, it all fits right there.
Yeah.
And that there would be no retirees and everybody must be employed.
That's right. And he also started off the whole movement towards talking animals to change a generation's idea of animals. You had talking rabbits, talking deer, you know. And children grew up thinking that those animals were much like themselves. It was quite a psychological preparation, because that's what it was all based on, really, you see. And he was a very high Freemason, too.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. You know, there's that there's a fireworks show at Epcot that they say it lasts exactly 13 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And it's called Illuminations.
13, it would be 13, yeah.
Yeah, and it's divided into three movements called chaos, order, and meaning.
Yes, yeah.
So that tells you right there, it's right, you know, this is obvious
it
can
is.
Be.
It is, yeah. I know. What they would work towards through maybe three generations of employers and the big foundations, they knew they could pull it off, and they were quite right. But they knew this in the 1700s, too, they could do this.
Well, I'm resisting as best I can.
Yes, we have to. Yeah. We have to. Well, thanks for calling.
Thanks for everything, Alan.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And you got George in New York. Are you there, George?
I'm on. Yeah, it's George here. Just a quick question. Francis Bacon was the head of the corporate structure that put together the King James Version of the Bible. Is that correct?
He was definitely involved in it, yeah.
He was involved, and he was a high-level Masonic personality?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was. There was a lodge there, a Rosicrucian lodge, and there's a whole bunch of them, Francis Bacon, Walter Raleigh, Drake, a whole bunch of them belonged to that lodge. And it's well written about that they had their meetings there and so on, you know. And there were pirates, too. They were all pirates.
Oh, so the hook up with the Skull and Bones, so to speak?
Yeah, you see, the pirates came out of the Knights Templars.
Right.
They were the first pirates. That's why they hoisted the Skull and Bones up there when they became renegades and were kicked out. They had a massive fleet, and they never did find the treasure that was pulled out of Europe and France. And they simply pillaged the seas. They were pirates and buccaneers.
And they went with their Masonic word, the Bible.
Yeah, and they based themselves initially in Argyllshire in Scotland, and then they also had an inn with the court in London, England. So they surrounded the Queen, Queen Elizabeth I, with advisors and so on, yeah.
So that's just because these ones seem to be calling you up because I'm a longtime follower, these religious ones, and I would really, in charity, ask them to back off because you're on a different subject. They should look into what we just discussed about the origin of the King James version of the Bible and these other religious works that...
They're pretty good, George, because some of them, when they lose their temper like that, show you that the demons really do exist.
Well, they shouldn't do that. Really, one of the most educated, intelligent, and charitable priests I ever met in my life, he used to stress that Jesus, as he knew Jesus, was a gentleman. He didn't push himself on anyone.
Well, it's supposed to give them peace beyond all understanding.
Well,
but those who don't understand anything, really, they've taken a dogma, and they're on the fringe group,
right.
They have no peace within them at all.
They seem that they have to go out and attack others, which I've been caught in that myself over the last decades and decades and decades, or 50 years or 40 years, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
But I didn't stay there too long, so I understand where they're coming from. But it's not the right place to be. And I think you're really correct when you say, you know, the faith faith in belief is you have faith that you believe what has been given by others is the truth, but it isn't necessarily so, because I go by my experiences, and that's all I can go by.
That's all you can go by. I think, therefore, I am, and this is what happens to me, and you come to your own conclusions.
Right, and just like my own belief, and I'm not pushing on anyone. I mean, if you do know the Lord Jesus, you'd have to know the Lady Mary, his mother, and the saints, because they seem to be around. You know, they travel together. That's the family. And I've always been perplexed for years that people, they want to push Jesus on you, and they don't seem to know the other aspects of
the
family.
That's the divisiveness of the different factions and sections.
Well,
the whole thing boils down, as I say, to peace. If you have peace within you because of your faith, then you wouldn't go around harassing people.
Right. In charity, I think the people should take another look at you and try not to push you because you're on a grand mission of bringing to light something, and it's not the time and the place to push you into exposing your inner.
It's also an agenda out there, George. With a small group, and they think they're SWAT teams for Jesus, you know.
Well, they should.
Again,
they've
combined this military mentality with pushing their version of Jesus on everyone else.
Well, for the love of God, I wish they would just back off and give you some peace and not harass the rest of us who are trying to look at ourselves. And I really take you up on what you say. I think you're absolutely correct, or I don't like that word too much, absolutely, but you're correct in saying you got to question what you've been taught or what you believe.
That's it.
And I only can believe what I know, and I'm well over 60, and I've been working at this for a long time. You know?
And you'll always change as your life goes on, as you know more and more and more.
True.
Yeah.
All right, so I just came in. I wouldn't have called except I got stuck in a safety checkpoint, they call it, 1984, right?
1984 checkpoint.
Safety checkoint, but I didn't have the upgrade of insurance paper, so I came back to get it. You know, an ounce of prevention's worth 20 pounds of cure. You got to have your papers and everything.
Your papers, please, yeah.
Yeah, but he let me go, you know. He did, but they checked, they scanned the license and the registration, you know. You know, big brother.
The land of freedom, yeah.
10 months I didn't have the upgrade. I remember I forgot to put it in my wallet. I should have put it in there right away. Took the old one out and put the new one in.
Yeah.
And But anyway, so Alan, good luck, and everybody out there, please, please back off, and let's have peace and harmony here. Otherwise, move on to other sites if you want, where people enjoy fighting.
Yeah.
But Alan doesn't, you know, and we're trying to listen.
It's pointless for me, and they won't win anyway. Thanks for calling, George.
Okay.
Back after these messages. Hi, I'm Alan Watt, and we're cutting through the matrix. And I've got Chuck on the line from the UK. Are you there, Chuck?
Hello.
Hello.
It's Jack. I think he misunderstood the Cumbrian accent.
Okay, I see H-U-C-K I've got here.
No, J-S-E-K.
Okay.
Okay, the question that I have for you, it's great to talk to you, by the way. About a year and a half ago, as far as waking up goes, I'd say I went past the point of no return. And in that time, there's been a lot of, you feel like your mind makes more links with synapses or whatever it is, and your concentration gets stronger. But seeing as you've been at it for decades, I was wondering if you could let me know what I'm in for somewhere down the line.
You're in for a roller coaster.
Okay.
A roller coaster when you're awake, when you try to sleep, it will suddenly come on you. And your mind will just go roller coaster, and everything that you, all the little bits of information you have that you've tucked away up through the years you didn't know you had, or you thought you'd forgotten, will come, all come together, like gestalt, it all comes together rather than exploded, implodes.
Really?
And it's like putting a plate back together that's all been smashed. And it won't leave you alone until you finally get it.
Goodness, I find I'm kind of seeing through people as well, you know, the delusions they have and the questions they ask me, I can just bang and fire something straight back at them because it's all the same kind of slogans, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're seeing them go through repertoires and routines, that's what they're called by a big world psychologist. Most people can only repeat routines that have been trained in and give repertoires of information. And it's all bits and bytes of information that's been downloaded into them via the television.
I see. I guess a second question, if I may. I'm not talking about supernatural powers here, but as far as the sheer power of the mind goes, what do you think the human being is capable of?
Pretty well anything for some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was a pleasure, and thank you very much, Alan.
You call again. Yeah.
Will do. See ya.
Bye now. And we might just fit in Jack from New Brunswick. Are you there?
Hello?
Hello, Jack.
Hello. Hello. It's very much a pleasure to speak with you. I've listened to your show for, 1 month now, and I understand that there is a certain network. It's an old family that's put itself in a position of advantage and is taking the advantage, and which seems to be normal to me. I know that I would help my cousin before I would help my neighbor, and so on down the line. I suppose I would even help, without sounding like a racist, I might even help my own race before I'd help another race, and that
yep.
seems to me to be natural to me.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, but then I find it, and then strangely enough, now we hear about this culling that is evident. They're disclosing that they, it appears as though they intend to eliminate a very large portion of the population on the earth.
Yes, they do want to do that, yes.
Now, I was just speaking to a friend of mine living in Washington, D.C., and she wasn't aware that Washington, D.C. is a sovereign state that exists within the United States Union.
That's right.
And is not part of the United States.
Yes, right, true. Yeah.
In fact, the President of the United States is president of a corporation called the United States. It does not represent the people
yeah.
of the United States unless they are citizens.
I have to go now. The music's on.
Okay.
Call again.
Okay,
from Haymish and myself up here in Ontario, Canada. It's good night, and may your God or your gods go with you.